When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, I'm Emmeline Mondo and this is Mondo Moments. Welcome back to The Practice and the Play with the fabulous Miss Sian Goth. If you haven't listened to part one, I recommend that you do, particularly if you're a slashy, and by slashy I mean actor slash model slash dancer slash receptionist slash nanny slash insert all the things here. It's a great episode that looks at the ways in which we're many things and how to embrace them. Now, in this episode, we talk about race relations. We talk about, well, Sian shares how she discovered that she wasn't doing enough during the Black Lives Matter movement in the summer of 2020, which is when we met. And she shares some tender personal stories about being raised vegetarian and how being othered at a young age affected her outlook on life. What I'm going to do is give you a little flashback of how we ended the last week, and then we'll jump straight into it.
I think many people who have two careers or wear various hats would argue that, yeah, it gets difficult. Yes, there are different areas of that that are challenging, but they would probably always pick that over a 9-to-5 Monday, Friday, like, this is my life, three holidays a year type thing. And not to say that there's anything wrong with that if that suits you, but a lot of us do have so many aspects of us that we want to meet and discover.
Absolutely. I think it's complicated because I have a lot of issues around seeking approval, and clearly because I'm an actor, but not letting people down, right? So I always feel that, you know, I feel so grateful for my job, and I've learned so much from it. And I do sometimes feel like I need to hide the fact that I have a desire to be acting on the stage, and I have a desire to write plays and films and, you know, scripts and comedy and stuff, because it's almost like I'm saying this isn't enough. Whereas, yeah, you know, the job I do have, I'm incredibly lucky to have it, and it's a fantastic job, you know.
Yeah.
So that's part of it too, is that you don't want to do what you are doing a disservice, and it's important to be grateful for what you have, and so I try and see it all as ways in which I can learn lessons, really, because you know, we don't know how long we're here, and it's about staying with the process, I think, and not really focusing too much on what the reward of that might look like in the long term. But because it's never what you think it's going to be anyway. It's not to be, that's not a negative. It's just that, you know, the interior of your life is always different from the exterior, and it's not your business to even know what the exterior is. So it's a funny old thing, really.
That interior exterior, actually, and this is a part that I was really keen to unpack with you. So you are, people who haven't met Sian, she's blonde, which is white lady, blonde haired, and in the sort of like labels of the modern world, like cisgendered white women, privileged. And these are labels that, you know, are real and have been put on her, but also I think labels that caused you to go on yet another discovery. And when I said in the beginning, in the intro, that Sian and I met at a protest, it was actually a stand that we had organized for Belly Majinga, who was a woman who worked for the National Rail, and somebody spat in her face and she died of COVID shortly after. So Sian had come in support of this, and it was the height of the Black Lives Matter movement in the summer. So naturally we were talking about race and inclusion. And you know, obviously Sian was there, so she cares enough. But I'd love you to talk a little bit about your journey into understanding your privileges and also your decision to stand. And I also feel that a lot of your practice informed how you stand in this, which I think is a very beautiful way to tie in the power of the practice. But I'd love you to talk a little bit about your journey there.
Okay. Well,
like, where should I begin?
Yeah, where should I begin?
I could be more specific. So, like, yeah, in 2020, in June of 2020, after the George Floyd murder, were you at a place with your knowledge of race relations where you had a rude awakening of, like, needing to do more? Or had you been in the work of, like, understanding inequalities, you know, in the industries that you'd been in?
Yes. Well, I think the answer is, to be really honest, it was an awakening in the sense of it was a strong call to action for me. As I really realized I wasn't doing enough. That's where it's at with me. It was a big call for me to reach for resources. And to shut the hell up and really listen to the people around me and kind of be loud. You know, I don't really see myself as an activist. I think there are people out there who are activists and can claim that name, and they are doing intensive labor to be an activist, and they have a cause, you know. The tricky thing right now is there's many, many causes, right? There's many, many, many. And I see myself as being somebody who wants to understand and support the intersectionality of all those causes. In the end, they sort of do come together. But ultimately, I think activism is a full-time job, really. And I think, you know, to say I'm an activist isn't the right, I don't think that it's right to claim that. But it woke me up to what I could be doing as a layperson, right? Like, it woke me up to what I could be doing in the yoga space. It woke me up to how I could be supporting, you know, marginalized people of color, in all aspects of my life, essentially. And that I wasn't doing enough to date, you know, that's kind of what happened for me.
Did it make you look back on moments, you know, having been, like, I think both theater, film, yoga spaces are industries that I guess it's because it's our world, but, you know, we really got to zoom in and look at the ways in which they're often, like, really imbalanced. Did it make you think about how you had witnessed it to be so unequal? Or were you kind of, what did it make you think about the industries that you were in?
It really made me understand how there had definitely been, like, how the way in which we package humans in the entertainment industry, you know, performers are very much packaged, you know, we're cast because of the way we look and who we are. And I'd always found that pretty toxic from my own end. But I have, you know, friends of mine who have experienced that and who are people of color who have experienced that as actors, and you know, like what's being said out in the world at the moment, it's not a monolith. Like, people have individual experiences within these industries that are individual to them, and so it's really important that you're there to listen, to really understand and unpack what's happening. But I think for me, what was outside of my understanding was, I think, you know, immaturity and ignorance, definitely on my part as an early 20 something, you know, you're very focused on your own trauma or your own experiences, and you're not necessarily doing the work to really widen that lens and understand how that plays out when you have, you know, the intersection of privilege, for example, you know, if you're somewhere else on that scale. And I think that was a big wake-up call, and meant that I felt extremely motivated to support, to stand up, to be a voice, essentially. But, you know, it's something that I take really seriously, and it's something that I really don't want to claim to be better than I am. I'm somebody who's learning and doing the best that I can at this time with the knowledge that I have. And I do look back at some of, you know, some experiences where I've, for want of a better word, you know, messed up. I haven't done the right thing, and those are difficult, painful things to acknowledge. And I think that's part of the work, you know. And I think we talked recently, didn't we, about how I see it as part of my spiritual practice. And
yeah,
I think for anyone out there who doesn't know what that means, or doesn't have a spiritual practice, it's about self-inquiry, you know, and about, you know, the yoga practice is really about seeing things as they are. And unfortunately, most of us are very self-conscious, but we're not very self-aware. And so,
because
it's a really
that was a good line. Self-conscious, but not self-aware.
That's it. And people think they're self-aware because they're very self-conscious, because they're highly critical. But the problem is that you're coming from a lens that is still steeped in your own perspective when you're self-conscious.
When you're
self-aware, you're coming from a wider perspective. And it's really been very recently that I've been able to make that distinction. And so I have a lot of compassion for people for where they are on that journey. But I also think that, you know, racism is a huge problem that is causing much harm and trauma to people. We've got to do everything we can to dismantle, you know, these ideas, and we need to dismantle white supremacy. So it's about balancing the sort of compassion that's felt with come on guys, we need to do something about this. We can't just kind of wallow in the excuses and the compassion. So it's trying to find a balance between those two things, and that is where it is. We talked about me growing up as a vegetarian when we first met, and I want to say very clearly, I'm not trying to conflate the oppression of animals with the oppression of people. Definitely not. I bring up this analogy. It's not an analogy. I bring up my own lived experience of this more to do with the psychology of feeling othered in a society. Yeah. That's kind of the way in which I'm looking at it. And I think that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, there are a few points just on that. I feel that, just to add in, being brought up vegetarian in the time when it was not trendy or like current, or, you know, just to make that clear to people, because obviously there might be a lot of vegetarian and vegan listeners, but, you know, back in the 90s, it really wasn't. So in school environments and even restaurants, actually, it was just seen as difficult and annoying and weird. And that was happening in your early childhood, right?
Yeah, so it's funny because I've spoken to my parents about this recently, and, you know, it's hard to give people honest, it's hard to own your experience when it's uncomfortable for other people. You know, I think my parents didn't really have any grasp of what that was going to be like to grow up vegetarian at a time when no one else was, really. Yeah. And how that immediately sort of marks you out. And like you said, it's more, and this is where some of the seeking approval problems come from, because, you know, when you're met with hostility just for a choice that you've made as a very young child, it's very difficult to know how to navigate the world because it feels hostile. And I think that for me, it was quite traumatic, actually. But again, it's one of those things you only realise very much later on. I guess where I'm coming from with this is that I can understand the psychology behind feeling like the world is hostile just for you, just really just being who you are, and how that makes you shrink, you know, how that makes you very aware of your safety in the world, you know, and your and like you said, it was just I remember this school trip I went on where we went to this sort of outdoor activity center in Wales, and the chef had been told that I was a vegetarian, so he was sort of cooking everything fresh for me every night, just a special meal, you know. And he made me
special. He could have just kept it fresh, and that would you'd have been satisfied. But
I know. And he made this like stuffed pepper, and you know, I'd never really had a stuffed pepper before, and he'd obviously put a lot of effort into it. And I just walked up, and I think I went and I just asked for chips and beans because I just wanted to be normal, you know. I just wanted to be like everyone else. And he came, and I went and sat down with my dinner, and he literally walked out and screamed at me in front of everybody, just saying, like, you know, you ungrateful, like, you know, this, that, and the other. I've made that especially for you. And, you know, it's this kind of like horrible kind of guilt and just weirdness, you know.
That is so traumatic.
It was quite traumatic. Imagine that. But that's just one incident. Like, there were so many, I can't even count how many. And you just realize that, I realized I was kind of dealing with microaggressions all the time. And actually, you know, the thing is the problem with being vegetarian is there's a kind of like a righteousness attached to it, right? And purely by being vegetarian, without saying a word, you're triggering people because they feel guilty. And so when you're triggering people's guilt, they make you the object of that issue.
Oh, yes, that is so true. Absolutely. And their discomfort as well. And so in their discomfort, they find a way to make you also feel uncomfortable just for you making a decision about yourself.
And I've never, ever pushed that on anyone. I've never pushed my agenda on anyone. I've been very, very light-footed with this whole thing because it's who I am. And I can't change it, actually. I mean, my brother decided to eat meat when he was 10. But for me, it was always quite deep.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I mean, I have tried to go vegan, and I really respect anyone who's vegan. I think, you know, it's much easier now. For me, I actually grew up not being able to eat things, you know. So when I started to go vegan, and just like I felt like there was nothing I could eat, it started to trigger like toxic eating behaviors that I used to go through. So I was like, it's really important for me to not put that pressure on myself. And it sounds like an excuse, but I think everyone needs to find what works for them when it comes to food, because there are so many different complicated things at play. And you know, you have to look after yourself first. I really, really believe that. So I'm not pushing any kind of vegetarian agenda here, but I can't remember where I got
I think that whole I mean, the whole overview, I'm gonna kind of take it back, just because I feel like from when you began talking about what you are seeing about the importance of speaking up about inequality, and also admitting the areas in which you had got it wrong, I find even, you know, the act of speaking up about that and just saying it really important. one of the reasons I asked you the question and framed it in the way that I did, you know, like describing these labels, is because I, when I look at society, I quite often think, wow, it's easier for some people to actually just not engage. And particularly if you're in a position where the way that you look or the way that you're positioned is a place of where you're benefiting from the current systems. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like that you sort of gave this background in the way of like just having from a very young age experienced, not to be compared at all, but experienced these moments, you know, psychologically that that you can refer to. But also I feel that, I mean, I really like it when people express, particularly white people, when they talk about why it is that they are aware of things and how it is that they became to care about it, because this thing of dismantling systems and also understanding white supremacy delusion in the body, I think is so personal. Mm-hmm. It's such a personal decision. Like, I never think that we can, like, I want to highlight the injustice, but I think if someone is racist, they're dealing with their own like psychological stuff. And I don't know that anyone can really, you can't angrily make someone not racist anymore, mm-hmm. but they can have a personal experience in which they realize what it is to feel othered or what it is to feel shame or hate. And then something that they live through might then inform the decisions they make. Do you know what I mean? So all of this stuff adds up and all of this stuff plays into the whys and the hows. And, you know, like even you vocalizing, you know, you haven't always got it right, or you wouldn't label yourself as an activist, but you're trying. All of it is a process. And, you know, I think the voicing of it is also part of the learning and unlearning. So yeah, it's a journey.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, it's so, thank you for holding this space. And I think it's, I guess my intention for coming on today was that I want to be effective as an ally. And I think by being effective or giving it a shot, at least, you know, it's about trying to encourage other people to be able to do that too. And I think it's really important that, yeah, again, it's treading that very careful line. Like you said, people who are racist probably do have a lot of, you know, mental health problems or things that they need to work through.
Their own stuff, yeah.
And so I'm a big advocate for therapy, and that's why I think, you know, spiritual practice, therapy, and I say spiritual practice in the sense that if you were to go into any 12-step program, you know, there's a spiritual aspect to that, in that, you know, you're giving yourself over to a higher power, or at least you're giving up some, you know, giving over some of your challenges to a higher power. And I think this is the problem, is that, you know, society as a whole is sick in lots of ways. And it's very difficult to, you've got to kind of attack all of this stuff together. It's kind of, you know, it's important that we're looking at all of these things together, because they all add up to the same thing. And this is what, you know, this is what it's all about at the end of the day, is we need to start humanizing each other and ourselves, so that we're not packaging people into these boxes. We're not harming people on a daily basis by our views, our judgments. And, you know, what black people are facing in America, as an example, because it's very obvious to see, right, with the police situation, is it does, you know, and with COVID, you can see how certain communities are being more affected. And so these are very clear sort of statistics of racism and how it's genuinely killing people, you know. And that's what we need to remember, you know, when you're worried about showing up, or you think, oh, I might get it wrong, you have to go, actually, am I going to get killed for getting it wrong? Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
No.
Yes, that's
it. I'm not, yeah. But someone might get murdered, or, you know, someone might be in grave danger, literally life and death, because yeah. of the color of their skin. And that is, for me, that's where it sits in the end, is that,
yeah.
you know, what is the cost? And the cost to you, if you're privileged and white, it's not the same.
Oh, that was very beautifully put. Thank you. We're literally just approaching the hour, and I think that was a very gorgeous place to end. Oh, I did want to ask you, what is there? Oh my god, I was about to say, what can we expect next? and then my brain went, it's a pandemic. Don't ask anyone that question. But let me phrase it like this. Given all the growth of the past sort of year and a half, and, you know, the wonderful realizations that you've had of integrating both sides, are you looking forward to, you know, opportunities this year to step into more of who you are in a fuller way? And what might that look like? Do you know yet?
Oh, what a lovely question. I mean, yeah, you've nailed it, really. That's it. I feel like it's about stepping forward, about stepping up, and stepping into, you know, who I really am in the fullness of that, and that being an integration of my creativity and my work as a yoga teacher, and how that might, and the, you know, the anti-racism work, and potentially in my future, you know, activism. But I feel that, you know, what you were saying a moment ago about people being able to connect with and feel how it might feel to be somebody else, you know, to walk a day in somebody else's shoes. You know, for me, that's the power of storytelling. And that's why I love films and TV and books and all of that, you know. That's where I really would love to find my voice in sharing the stories of people who need their stories to be told. But, you know, even that's complicated, because I am a white woman and I am cisgendered. So, you know, it's about how do I allow that to come through me in a way that's not taking that voice from somebody else, you know. So really kind of, you know, who knows what the future holds.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, just being part of the projects that are amplifying those voices, but also in a kind of I want to say not twisted fate, but in a way of like understanding human emotion and connection, like you do also have the privilege, I guess, of taking on the roles of the people, you becoming a mirror for the people who might not yet have woken up, and like, you know, the honesty in like your portrayals could make people see like how bad it can look and how good it can look, you know what I mean? And that's I mean, that excites me, the work that you're doing and who you are, and really why I wanted you on is because it is this people who are looking at every area of their life and leaning into, be it spiritual practices and storytelling and, you know, challenging themselves, we are part of this, I guess, this future in which like we do kind of want the same thing. Like, I know that like we have common goals, and they're all quite simple, and it's about peeling back all of those experiences, hurtful stories and fear that makes you think that it's like a complicated journey to like love, acceptance and compassion. And and you're really pouring that into like everything that you are, or trying. I mean, all we can do is try, right? But do you know, just the thought of going into a yoga studio and knowing that you'll be a teacher makes me happy. And then the thought of receiving a script or getting a call sheet and being like, oh, I'm working with Shah. Amazing. I mean, these are my dreams. Like,
oh, I feel so much the same way. I feel I would be dreamy to work with you in any capacity. But that's it. And I think realizing that you can just be you, and that is enough. And you don't have to be a brand, and you don't have to package yourself in a shiny way. And that's, for me, that's my spiritual practice. That's my freedom from oppression, right? Is that we don't have to be these capitalist packages, you know? And I think ultimately it makes people unhappy when they play that game. So I'm going to do my best to not play that game and just be who I am and hope that that's enough. And I know it is enough. That's it. I know it's enough.
It really is. It really is, and some, you know, it's just, I'm so grateful for you and grateful for your voice.
I'm so grateful for you and this wonderful podcast. You bless you. Nourishment to so many people through this.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we shall be back soon for another glorious conversation.
The headlines remind us daily the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.